Amen.
Amen. Let's thank Pastor Kenny for bringing us up to speed and leading us in prayer. Well, as Pastor Kenny shared with us, this is a season that we are in focusing on prayer. We're calling it 21 Days of Prayer, where we're looking at what God's Word has to say about prayer and the God that we pray to and how we're to pray and what we're to pray for. And we have so far in our time together on Sunday mornings, we've looked at what Jesus had to say about prayer. We went to school with Jesus and allowed him to teach us about everything we should be focused on in prayer. Last week, we talked about our authority in prayer, the authority that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because we're united with Christ, and we have the spirit of sonship and heirship inside of us, and because we have the promises of God to claim as we pray. And today, I want us to talk about how do we pray for one another? How do we pray for others? Intercessory prayer. My hope is that we're going to look at some scriptures that are going to encourage us, equip us, challenge us to get out of our comfort zone, and the end result will be that we are a people devoted to prayer, praying for one another, and there will be like this shield over this entire church and church body and community of prayers that are going up for one another, that are offered in faith, offered according to God's will, offered in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we see God moving in one another's lives, and we actually sense that we are invested in one another's lives because we're praying for one another. So what I want to do is I want to ask some questions and answer them from scripture, and then land with some super practical things that we can do in terms of actually being doers of God's word. So here's the first question. Why pray for others? Why is that something that should grip us, challenge us, and move us to change the way we do the rhythm of life? Well, first of all, we should pray for others because we're following the example of Jesus. Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for his followers. In fact, there's this great prayer of Jesus recorded in John chapter 17. Much of it is Jesus dialoguing with the Father, and within that dialogue, there are specific things that Jesus prays for. In John 17, it says, I ask on their behalf, this is Jesus talking, he says, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you've given me. He's praying to God the Father, which, by the way, just think of this amazing communication, God the Son communicating with God the Father, this holy glimpse at the Trinity, one God, yet the three persons and the Son in face-to-face fellowship with the Father praying on behalf of his followers. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you've given me, because they are yours. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you've given me, so that they may be one just as we are. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I'm not asking for you to take them out of the world, but to keep them away from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm also sending them into the world. I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Father, I desire they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you've given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus' prayer at the end of his earthly ministry, right before his betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection. He's praying for his apostles, but then he actually says, not just for them, but for all who would believe in him through them. Well, down through the ages, that includes us. I want you to actually think about this. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, the head of the church, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he has prayed for you. He's prayed for you. He's prayed for everyone who would come to believe in him. We have the prayer authority of Jesus over us. So when we face life, face opposition, as we seek to serve the Lord, as we seek to pray for and see, realize the kingdom of God on earth and the will of God on earth, we have the prayer of Jesus over us. Jesus prayed for his followers. And so that's an example, because Jesus, Jesus is the Lord, and being a disciple is following Jesus, so you follow his example. Well, what did Jesus do? He prayed for people. So we follow the example of Jesus when we pray for one another. We're being like Jesus when we pray for one another. It's part of our discipleship journey. Another reason why we pray for one another is we follow the example of the Apostle Paul. So Paul, in his letters, in almost every one of his letters, he mentions the fact that he's praying for the church and he's praying for individuals. Paul was a prayer warrior. In many of his letters, he actually records the prayers that he prayed for people. So he told them he was praying for them. He modeled prayer before them. He actually prayed for them and wrote out what it was that he was praying for them. So these are some of the prayers that Paul prayed for churches and for individuals. In Ephesians 1, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Well, that's a powerful prayer. That's what Paul prayed for the believers in the church at Ephesus. He also prays for them in Ephesians chapter 3. So here's another prayer that he includes in this letter. "For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in his inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Again, this great prayer. In fact, while we were worshiping and singing and Sergio was leading us, just because I've been thinking and meditating on these prayers this past week, I was just praying these prayers for us here. I was praying this prayer for you being here in this service. And if you're watching online, I was praying for you as we worship together, praying these prayers, because the Apostle Paul prayed for people. He gave us an example of prayer, and he wrote it down because the Holy Spirit kind of downloaded God's message into Paul's mind, and Paul wrote out what God led him to write. And it was this prayer. In Philippians, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." And for the church at Colossae, he prayed for the Colossian believers. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." And then Paul prays for the believers at Thessalonica, and he prays this in his letter of 1 Thessalonians. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." And then he closes out this letter with another prayer for them. And he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will do it." Paul prayed for the churches. He prayed for individuals that he was connected with. And we are to pray because we're following the example of the Apostle Paul. The Bible exhorts us to imitate the faith of our spiritual leaders and spiritual mentors. And in a real way, Paul is a spiritual mentor to every one of us. He wrote these words following the Holy Spirit's leading. He modeled being a devoted prayer for other people. And so we're to pray because of the example that Paul sets before us. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, follow me as I follow Christ. And one of the ways that Paul followed Christ is his prayer life and his intercession for other people. Notice one of the things about these prayers, by the way, is while he prays unique things for each church, there's a common kind of theme of spiritual transformation and the reality of the fruit of the Spirit in their life and a deeper personal knowledge of Jesus and an experience of the love of God in their lives. These very inner spiritual realities coming to fruition. That's what he's praying for. So why pray? We pray to follow the example of Jesus. We pray to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. Here's the third reason. We pray because we're commanded to pray for others. The Bible actually commands us. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. So we are commanded to pray for one another. It's part of this one another experience. You know, there's like 25, 30 commands in the Bible that are kind of introduced by one another. How we're to treat one another. How do we get along with one another? How we relate to one another as followers of Jesus Christ. How we do life together. And one of those one another's is praying for one another. We make a real spiritual investment in each other's life when we pray for one another. We bless each other when we pray for one another. We encourage each other when we pray for one another. We stand together in unity. We love each other when we pray for one another. Why? Why pray for one another? Well, you got the example of Jesus, you got the example of the Apostle Paul, you got the command of the Bible. Here's a fourth reason. We go on the offensive in spiritual battle when we pray for others, when we pray for one another. We go on the offensive. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, we have the mentality, some of us have the mentality that we're just gonna get beat up by the devil and his demons. Others of us maybe have the mentality, no, we're not gonna get beat up, we're gonna be able to defend ourselves. Because we put on the armor of God. Well, that's good, but that's not the best. The best is actually winning the spiritual battle. And you win the spiritual battle, yes, by defending with the armor of God, but taking the offense. We actually move out and take territory for God. We pray God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. We actually pray God's will into people's lives. That's why I pointed this out last week, and I'm gonna touch on it again today, is in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about being strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and putting on the full armor of God, and then it details the armor that we're to put on and take up. The next verse, which is a command, is Ephesians 6:18, says, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, pray with all kinds of prayers and keep on praying for all of God's people. So you see, the point of contact of the spiritual battle is prayer. It's when we pray that we're advancing the kingdom of God. It's when we pray that we actually are moving out, claiming territory in the name of Jesus so that his kingdom come and his will be done. That's in our marriages, with our children, in our neighborhoods, in our place of work, here, in our gathering together, in our community, in the world. We move out as kingdom advancers in prayer. This tells me, by the way, why sustained intercession is so hard. It tells me why so often my mind wanders when I'm praying. It tells me why quite often I start to fall asleep when I pray. which, by the way, at least at work around here, at a church office, if the boss opens the door and you're sleeping, one of the best things to do is go, amen. Yes, how can I help you? You're catching some Z's, you know, then you just go, oh, amen, yeah. So if you're falling asleep in the sermons, at least make it look spiritual. Do it like this, you know. The reason that happens, the reason why our minds wander, the reason why we fall asleep, the reason why we all know we should pray and be more devoted to prayer, and we know people need prayer, but the reason why it's hard, it's the spiritual battle. That's why. It is the spiritual battle, but we take the offensive in prayer. I along with the cool sermon podcast that I listen to a few preachers. That's, you know, we all have our favorite preachers. I got mine, and I listen to one podcast. I also have a podcast I listen to that's called Combat Stories. And this guy is a former helicopter attack pilot from the Gulf Wars, and he interviews all these special forces guys. So Green Berets, Delta Force, Navy SEALs, and he talks to them about their life story and how they experienced combat and what life has been like since they've come back. I was listening to it this past week, and the guy was in the Delta Force, which is like, that's high up there, right? And he was talking about selection, like how do you get into the Delta Force? Well, you have to be going the Airborne and then the Rangers and then the Green Berets and then in the Delta Force. And it's a very difficult selection process. And the guy was telling a story from the selection process. He said, yeah, we had to navigate in the woods over several days without any food and water. And then we had to go from one point and make it to another point and just living off the land. And it was really hard. I mean, we'd already been beaten down from the 3 months of training and exhaustion that went into it. And this was the final exercise. And I found one of my buddies who was sitting by a rock, and I said, let's get up and let's go. And he said, no, I'm done. I this is at the very end, and it's the last exercise. And he goes, I just can't do it anymore. I am totally depleted. And I said, no, come on, let's go, let's do it. So he got up with me, and he said, we walked 700 feet, and it was the end. And the guy to interview him said, you mean that this guy was ready to give up? Not fulfill his dream of, you know, becoming a Delta Force operator after doing everything up to that point because he was so tired and he only had 700 feet. And he said, yeah, but we didn't know it was only 700 feet. And I thought, man, how many times have I been praying and I'm getting discouraged or I'm getting defeated, I'm not seeing what I'm praying for, or I'm tired, or I'm just selfish and I don't want to pray anymore. And I'm only 700 feet away from victory. See, the enemy will try to stop us in intercession in every way he can, but God says there's victory if we'll press through, you see, because it's at the point of attack. Prayer is the point of attack. That's where there's gonna be spiritual opposition. But remember, we got all the armor, and we got the sword of the Spirit, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and so following the example of Jesus, following the example of the Apostle Paul, being obedient to the command, understanding we're at the point of spiritual attack, we pray for others. That's why we do it. Amen. Here's the second question. Well, what are we to pray? Okay? I'm convinced I want to pray for my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my family. What am I to pray for? Well, first of all, you can pray about everything. You know, even miracles. Everything, even miracles. That's what all the scriptures about prayer talk about. The one in John 14, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Whatever, anything. So as you pray for your spouse, husbands, as you pray for your wives, parents, as you pray for your kids, brothers and sisters, as you pray for one another in your small group, congregation, as you pray for your pastors, amen. Pastors, As we pray for the congregation, pray about everything. Everything, even miracles. Don't pre-qualify what God can and cannot do. Don't pre-qualify what God will or will not do. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So pray about anything and everything. Secondly, pray the prayers of the Bible. I just read to you just a few minutes ago these prayers that came right out of the Bible. The prayer that Jesus prayed for us in John 17, the prayers that Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and Philippians 1 and Colossians 1 and 1 Thessalonians. Pray those prayers. If especially if you feel like you're not really sure what to pray for. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says that God helps us in our weakness because we don't know how to pray as we should, but he who searches the hearts intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And God, the Spirit, takes our prayers that we even have a hard time articulating and will pray them through us back to the Father. So pray the scriptural prayers. Turn to John 17. Have your Bible open and just read what Jesus prayed for and pray that back for your children. Pray that back for your brothers and sisters here in the church. Husbands, pray that back for your wives. Wives, pray that back for your husbands. Just pray the scriptural prayers. Here's a third idea about praying. It's kind of in line with this whole idea about praying the scriptural prayers, but it's actually praying the scriptural principles and commands and promises and requests. So if you looked at all those scriptures that I read from John 17, Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 3, and Colossians 1, and Philippians 1, and 1 Thessalonians, I made a list of the requests. Because I'm going somewhere with this. This is a long list, but this is what the Bible tells us Jesus and the Apostle Paul prayed for people. That we'd be kept in Jesus' name, that maybe we may be one just as Jesus and the Father are one, that we may have Jesus' joy made full in ourselves, that we'd be kept from the evil one, that God would sanctify us in the truth, that we'd be sent out into the world as the Father sent the Son, that we'd be one just as Jesus is one in the Father and the Father's one in Jesus and we are one in Jesus and the Father, that our unity would cause the world to believe in Jesus, that we would be with Jesus in heaven, that we would see Jesus' glory, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him, that our hearts would be enlightened, that the joy, we might know the joy and the hope of our calling and inheritance, that we would know the power of Christ's resurrection and the authority of Christ's seating, that God would strengthen us with power in our inner being by his Holy Spirit, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, that we'd be rooted and grounded in God's love, that we'd be able to comprehend and know the incomprehensible love of Christ, that we would be filled up with the fullness of God, that our love would overflow in real knowledge and discernment, that we discover the things that are excellent, that we'd be sincere and blameless, that we'd be filled up with the fruit of righteousness, that we'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and insight, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him, that we'd bear fruit in every good work, that we'd be increasing in the knowledge of God, that we would be strengthened with all power, that we would attain all perseverance and patience, that we would joyously give thanks to the Father, that the Lord would cause us to increase and overflow in love for one another and for all people, that the Father would establish our hearts blameless in holiness, that the God of peace would sanctify us entirely, and that our spirit, soul, and body would be kept complete and without blame. Now, the point is, it's obvious that what Jesus prayed for and what the Apostle Paul prayed for was not, Lord, could I get a parking space at the mall right up close? Lord, could my son get accepted into Harvard? God, would you give me an increase in pay at my job? Now, Should we pray about those things? Yes, because we should pray about anything and everything. But from the example of the Bible, the focus of our praying for one another ought to be spiritual transformation. Knowing Jesus better and better. Having the love of Jesus fill up our lives. Having the power of the Holy Spirit transforming us. See, when you look at what Jesus actually prayed for, what the Apostle Paul actually prayed for, the focus was on inner spiritual transformation. Having the character of Jesus, having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, knowing Jesus fully, being filled up with the fullness of God, knowing the love of Jesus that would just totally change our lives. Those were the things that those prayers focus on. So in our praying about anything and everything, we should intentionally bring these spiritual principles, these scriptural requests into our prayers for one another. And I'll tell you something about this that you get the double blessing with. 1 John 5:14-15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the requests that we've asked from him. That's a pretty powerful promise. It's talking about confidence and knowing with respect to prayer. Confidence and knowing. And the key is praying according to God's will. Well, you know, there's a lot of things about my life, my future, my marriage, my children, our church. I don't know. I don't know if it's God's will or not. Now, I should pray about it, whether I know it's God's will or not, because it's the desire of my heart or it's what I am inclined to pray for. But when I pray according to God's will, I have confidence and knowledge that it's heard and it's going to be answered. Let me just tell you, these prayers of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they're in God's word. That's God's will. We can pray these prayers knowing it's God's will to do that in my spouse, to do that in my children, to do that in our church, to do that in this world. We're praying God's will to be done into one another's lives. When we pray scriptural prayers for one another. So we are to study these prayers and pray these prayer principles back to God for one another. So we've talked about why we should pray and what we should pray for. Here's a third question. It's kind of two in one. How and when do we pray? So I'm going to get real practical. As I land this message, real practical. How and when do we pray? Well, first of all, we should pray whenever we think of people. It's really simple. But if you read the Apostle Paul's letters and kind of the first line in those prayers, he says, every time I remember you, I constantly remember you in my prayers. We've not stopped praying for you. I continually ask. I've not stopped thinking about you. And then he says, this is the prayer. So whenever you think about somebody, you pray for them. Pretty simple. You're at work and you're thinking about your wife, guys. Just take a moment. Lord, this is what I pray for, my wife. And just pray a prayer blessing over them. Moms, you're doing your day and you're thinking about your kids. Just pray a prayer over them. You're thinking about your small group that you got later tonight, and the people in your group go, wow, I'm going to pray for those brothers and sisters. See, when you think about someone, just kind of discipline yourself to offer prayer in their behalf. It is a discipline. It's an exercise in godliness. It's a training of our minds to be intentional, to be praying for one another. Here's another idea, just real practical. How and when should I pray for one another? Well, during our quiet time with the Lord. We ought to have a time every day that we spend with the Lord, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes. Just a time that we're being still and knowing that God is God. Time to just let the Holy Spirit settle our heart, our mind, our thoughts. Let God's word speak to us. pour out our hearts to God in prayer. And when we have that time, we should be praying for one another. Journal it, write it down. I know many of you do that. And it's a tremendous spiritual discipline to just, in that time of praying, to actually write out the prayers that you're praying for your children. Write out the prayers you're praying for your spouse. Write out the prayers that you're praying for your friends, your brothers and sisters. Write out the prayers that you're praying for people here in the church. So when and how do we pray? Whenever we think about people, during our quiet time with the Lord. Here's a third, when we gather together for prayer. You know, right now we're in this 21 days of prayer, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we are gathering here at the church in the fellowship center at 6:30 in the morning. Tomorrow morning at 6:30, we're gonna be there. We are gathering for prayer. So when you come together for prayer, pray for the people that God puts on your heart. We come together every Sunday for worship, and it's a time to celebrate and to listen to God's word and to fellowship with one another. And we need to create some sacred space where we pray for each other. Maybe this is a time where you see someone and they're the someone that you pray for, and you see them here on the patio, or you see them going into the church, or you see them afterwards, and you just say, man, I'm praying for you. In fact, can I pray for you right now? And just pray God's blessing into their life. When we gather with others for prayer. Here's a fourth, just practical suggestion. How and when to pray? Well, pray using our prayer wall behind this screen, behind the little room in the back, on the back side of this building. We've got a prayer wall built. And we built it for the purpose of encouraging prayer. And on that prayer wall, which is kind of patterned after the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem in the old city, you'll see these little slips of paper. We have every Sunday set out there a little podium, and there's little slips of paper about prayer, and there's a pencil, pen. You can take that. You write out your prayers. You don't have to use that. You can take any piece of paper you want. But we encourage people just write those prayers out and stick them into the wall. The first time I went to Jerusalem, I remember I was just overwhelmed by in that little plaza up right before the Temple Mount and the Wailing Wall, the religious devotion of the modern day Jewish people going up to that wall and praying. And I remember thinking, wow, just would God open their eyes to the Messiah and the reality of the God that they are in ignorance praying to. But what struck me is that's a point of contact. And I think God uses that. That's why he had a temple for people. That's why we have a church building. That's why, you know, for those of you who know the story, God really spoke to me up at Forest Home at the up where Billy Graham prayed. And that's where God gave me the real vision for Crossline Church. There are points of contact. That's my point. There are points of contact where we can really meet God. In the book of Genesis, it's Jacob at Bethel met the Lord in a powerful way. It was a place. So the prayer wall, let that just kind of be a place, a point of contact. There's nothing any more holy about it than anywhere else, but it reminds you to pray. So whenever you come up on our campus at Crossline on Sundays or through a midweek study or coming up here for something, go out to the prayer wall and just write out your prayer for someone and pray for them and stick it there in the cracks there in the wall. Here's a fifth and final thing. Pray for others and send out texts and emails of encouragement. You know, in Paul's day, they didn't have texting and email. They didn't even have paper like we call paper to write things out. But have you thought about it? The New Testament letters were letters that Paul wrote and sent to people, and they received them, and then they read them in front of the whole church, and then copies were made so that individuals could actually read them and have them for themselves. And what they read was, I'm constantly thinking about you and praying for you. The Ephesian believers opened up, and they opened up that letter, and they read, since the day we heard of it, we have not stopped praying for you, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you'd know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance for you as saints, and that you would know the surpassing greatness of his power, which he demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead. And he seated him at the Father's right hand above all rule and authority and power and dominion of every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. They were reading the prayer that Paul prayed for them. That must have given them tremendous encouragement and blessing to know that he was praying for them and actually read what it was that he was praying for them. Well, we can do the same thing by just sending them text. I'm praying for you. I love you. And then actually including, and this is my prayer that I'm praying. Or sending an email. God brought you to my mind, and I want to let you know this is what I'm praying for you. And then write out your prayer and send that off to people. I guess what I'm saying is the bottom line for all of us is that the Holy Spirit wants to up our game in prayer and in our praying for one another, so that there are these overlapping prayers that completely cover Crossline Community Church and all the people that are part of our church. You know, in military hardware, there is a missile system called the Iron Dome. You might have heard of it, especially it's used in Israel. So when rockets are fired onto Israel, there is a missile defense system, the Iron Dome, and these rockets are aligned in certain strategic places such that they fire interdictory missiles to stop any missile coming in to Israel. And if they were all firing at the same time, they would create a dome of protection. Well, can you imagine our prayers like missiles being fired up and prayers being fired up from everywhere, all over our congregation and all over our community, because every one of us is engaged in doing what it says in Ephesians 6 and praying in the Spirit and with all prayer and petition, praying for God's people. So those prayers are creating a dome of protection where the kingdom of God can be released and the will of God can be done. That's what God wants to do. And that will happen when every one of us engage in praying for one another. Praying for one another. That's what God wants us to be about. He wants us to be a people who take his word as his word and we put it into practice and we pray for one another. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for all these scriptures. I pray that they come into our hearts, they transform us, they build conviction within us, they'd be released in our obedience as we seek you in prayer and as we pray for one another. And I ask for that in Jesus' name, amen. I've asked Pastor Kenny to come up and to actually lead us in an exercise of doing what we just talked about.
So you might be asking, why are we focused so much on praying with spiritual authority and then interceding for other people? And it's because of where we're headed as a body. God has really impressed upon the leadership of your church that we're mobilizing people to go into the spiritual battle. This is an equipping time for us. And so as you come on Sundays and you receive that equipping, it's equipping not for information, but for application, because we're gonna release you into the spaces and places that are connected to you, where you live, where you work, where you pray, where you play. We're releasing you into those spaces to practice prayer. And so right now, what I want you to do is I want you to think of someone in your family that you wanna pray for, okay? Silent exercise. Just want you to think of someone in your family. Let the Holy Spirit bring to mind someone in your family that you can pray for. Okay, that's person A. Now I want you to think of someone who is a member here at Crossline, or maybe a staff person. Maybe your pastors, if you're not sure. But someone at Crossline. So someone in your family, someone at Crossline. We're gonna put a verse that Pastor JP used as an example and as a model. And right now, we want to focus on those two people. We wanna focus on someone in your family. Got him? And someone here at Crossline that you know, a small group member, someone who's part of your Bible study, someone that you love. And we're gonna ask God right now to do some things in their lives. Father, we pray for our family member and our spiritual brother or sister. And we ask right now that you would just fill them. Holy Spirit, fill them with the knowledge of your will. Fill them with your wisdom, Holy Spirit. Fill them with understanding that only comes from you. Fill them. Holy Spirit, we ask that they would live a life worthy of the Lord, that you would be their number one priority, that they would please you, not just in some ways, but in every dimension of their life, in every way. Holy Spirit, we pray for our family member and our brother or sister and ask God that as they abide in you, that they would be bearing fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that there would be more love in their lives, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more gentleness, more faithfulness, more self-control that reflects the source of their life, you, Jesus. God, we pray that through the Holy Spirit right now that you would accelerate their growth in the knowledge of God. That they would know you, not just know about you, but that they would know you personally. And God, we ask for our family and for our friend. Holy Spirit, power. Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen them with all power, that they would feel a glorious might in their lives and in these spaces where they live and work and pray and play, God, that could come from nowhere else. And Holy Spirit, we pray for our family and for our friends, God, for those moments in their lives when they're flagging, when they're fatigued, God. We pray for endurance, Lord. We pray endurance over them. We pray patience over them. And then, Holy Spirit, we pray for our family and for our friends that there would be such a presence of the Holy Spirit that it would erupt in worship. Lord, that you would just cause them to give thanks, not thanks just in the middle of their successes, but thanks in the middle of their adversities. Not thanks just on the mountaintop, but thanks in the valley, God, that they would offer sacrifices of praise because you're good and your loving kindness is everlasting and your faithfulness goes on and on to your people. So Lord, we pray that over them. Father, lastly, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring people into the light, that you would bring our friends into the light, that you would remind them that they're yours, that they're to be like you, and that they would experience an eruption of protection and light in their lives that would defeat the evil one, that would defeat the flesh, and defeat the pressure of this world in their lives. Jesus, thank you that you've called us to intercede on their behalf today. And we're thankful, we're confident that we have what we ask because we know right now that we've asked according to your will, and we give you praise and thanks and glory that you're gonna answer these prayers, God, in the coming days and weeks. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.